Welcome to the NewsHour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest is Jack Rasmus. Happy to have Jack back. He's a professor of political economy at St. Mary's College and Santa Clara University in California. He's also a freelance journalist, a frequent speaker, a playwright, an author. And his newest book is getting closer and closer to the publication date in March. It's titled Epic Recession and Financial Crisis, Prelude to Global Depression? So we want to go back to the economy today and talk about, let Jack express his views on it. And maybe we could also get a little bit into Obama's State of the Union message. But I had a few things to say about it myself. Jack, I welcome you back.
Good morning.
It's great having you. Where shall we begin? The economy, the State of the Union. One thing that you might want to comment on is Obama's proposal to freeze domestic spending other than things related to security and the things that I guess he wouldn't dare touch unless he gets his health care bill passed, namely Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid. The health bill, if it ever passes, takes a big chunk out of Medicare.
Yes, comments on it? I had predicted in an article I wrote at the time that he initially won the election in Z Magazine in December 2008, that what we're going to see from Obama was eventually an austerity program. And this is the first shot across the bow of that program, cutting spending on just about everything except defense, of course. And I think all the focus that has been growing on the deficit since Geithner went to China back in June of last year is another reflection of that growing emphasis on deficit and budget cutting and so forth, which will be at the expense of a quick recovery. The government needs to spend more in order to get the economy going, but it's going to be spending less. And that's quite significant. You know, when he ran for office and was elected, and we were in the depths of the crisis here last January, a year ago, the whole mantra was, well, we got to bail out the banks to get the economy going again. That was the get credit flowing. That was the first thing we had to do to get it all going, bail out the banks. That's why we had to give them minimum of $2.5 trillion. We'll never know exactly how much they got, but that's what they admit.
You want a different figure. Catherine Austin Fitz, who comes on this program, she uses a figure of about $13 trillion. And this fellow Borofsky, what's his precise title? I forget exactly what his title is. But he talks about either given to the banks or pledged, there's an awful lot pledged, $23.7 trillion. In other words, all the money they want.
Well, I don't know if it's that much. I wouldn't agree that's the correct figure, but I think it is certainly, in terms of commitments, what they are prepared to give them was certainly around $10, $11 trillion, which, I mean, $11 trillion, $23 trillion, what's the difference? It's a whole heck of a lot of money, you know? And it's in contrast to the dribbling and the reluctance to spend for Main Street and for workers and consumers of this country, who are those that are really, really hurting. You see, the big businesses aren't hurting, whether they are the big banks that have all bailed out. The smaller banks are hurting, and big non-bank businesses are doing quite well because they can go into the markets and raise bonds, corporate bonds, junk bonds, and they are flush with cash, the big corporations. But it's your small, medium-sized business that has to get bank loans, and they can't get them.
They can't get them, Jack. We
no,
have to take
and
a break.
As a result, bank lending has, despite the trillions of dollars we give in the banks, bank lending has shrunk every month.
Hold that thought. We'll come right back after the break.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look.
and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa.
Welcome back. Talking with Jack Rasmus. Jack, I think we've seen this scheme before. Very early in this economic crisis, it struck me that part of the scheme, and I think it's all engineered, is to support the big corporations, the oligarchic corporations, and at the same time starve the smaller ones to get rid of competition to more greatly empower the big ones, let them consolidate more. Of course, starting with the big Wall Street banks, or the fire sector overall. And lots of other companies have benefited as well, not as well as Wall Street. But the dirty idea that we've seen played out before in past years, we've seen it in different parts of the world, get rid of the smaller ones, let the bigger ones consolidate and be more powerful. And I think that's what's going on. So apparently, I would guess part of the scheme is for banks, whether they're able to or not. I mean, they're flush with cash. They can do anything they want with it. But they're withholding lending to small business. Are they lending to the big companies?
Well, to some extent, but the big companies see, rather than borrowing from the banks, they go into the bond markets. And they've raised tons of cash in the bond markets, and they're sitting on it as well. Cash is king in a crisis, and they're well taken care of. You know, they're not going to have a problem, the General Electrics, you know, and the IBMs and so forth. But that's just part of the economy. The biggest part is the medium and small businesses, and they're the ones really hurting and dependent on bank lending. And banks, as I said, aren't lending, and they won't start lending for a whole host of reasons. To the extent that they are lending, they're doing a very short-term and speculative opportunities, you know, with currency volatility and exchange-traded funds, emerging market funds, foreign property markets. It's the same thing they were doing before, and they're borrowing the money from the Federal Reserve at zero interest. In fact, the Fed is paying them interest to borrow money from them, so they're getting paid to take money for free from the Fed, and they're investing in these global speculative markets all over the world, and that's how they made their profits here.
Do me one favor. You said that on this program before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand how the Fed pays these banks to borrow money. Explain how that works.
Okay. They borrow money from the Fed. They leave it in their reserves with the Fed once they borrow it. And the Fed pays them interest on leaving it in the reserves.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
So effectively, they're getting paid. You know, it's a little indirect. People don't realize it, but they're getting paid to borrow. And, of course, only the banks can do that who are part of the Federal Reserve. And, you know, shadow banks as well. Insurance companies can do it and finance companies, et cetera. Right? The hedge funds, they all do it now. Okay. And then they invest this abroad at speculative prices and get quick short-term profits. And they're sitting on $1 trillion now. They had about $2 trillion before the crisis, and then they pretty much wiped that out. And now they borrowed from the Fed, and they're sitting on cash of $1 trillion, but they're not spending it or lending it long-term to small businesses that need it. And they won't for a whole number of reasons. One, the banks aren't sure with new capitalization rules how much they're going to have to hold in reserves. That's still being worked out in Basel, Switzerland, right? And uncertainty as to what's going to happen when the Fed pulls out. They're paying some of it back in bonuses, you know, and so they can pay themselves bonuses, but it's a very small amount, you know. I mean, when Obama said yesterday that the banks have paid most of the money back that we've given them, well, they pay back about $50-60 billion, and that's a pittance compared to what they've gotten and from the Fed and you know, from other Treasury and FDIC and so forth. It's a pittance. It's a lie, pretty much. And it's a lie when he says we've stabilized the financial system. They've stopped it from collapsing. But just wait until we have a foreign a debt crash, a foreign sovereign country debt crash, Greece or Spain or somebody like that, and you'll see how stable the banks are. Very stable.
I think that probably is coming, Jack. I mean, countries like Greece, Latvia, Ukraine. I mean, they're in serious. Iceland. They're in serious trouble.
Yeah, and Citigroup is technically bankrupt. It has been for quite some time, and they've kept it quiet. And they're trying to figure a way how they can break it up and sell it off. So you know, the financial system, even the big 19 banks, are still in trouble. Some of them, of course, have inside deals and arrangements. You know, like Goldman Sachs with AIG. And, of course, now we have all the publicity beginning to emerge with Treasury Secretary Geithner and how he, when AIG went under, guaranteed them 100% payoff. That's why we paid $180 billion to rescue AIG. But it didn't go to AIG. It went right through AIG to Goldman Sachs and other investment banks. And it's interesting that when the decision with Paulson on what to do with AIG and occurred, it was just Goldman Sachs sitting there with Paulson and deciding, you know, we're going to bail AIG out 100%. So, but that's yesterday's story, you know. Today's story is that small businesses aren't getting a break at all, and workers aren't getting a break at all. And what did we hear yesterday in Obama's program? Well, we heard we're going to give $30 billion tax cut to community banks and small business. $30 billion. Okay, a tax cut. Well, last year we gave over $300 billion in tax cuts, and what did it produce? Not a zero in terms of recovery. If you look at the third quarter GDP, 2.2% growth in GDP, 1.9% of that 2.2% was due to two special programs, the cash for clunkers and the first-time homebuyers, and they've discontinued the former. Okay.
They should have done that.
Those special programs.
I have to throw in one question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of the GDP number that came out this morning, the last hurrah?
Well, I haven't seen the exact number this
morning. I think it was 5.7 growth in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, that'll be revised downward for sure. And, certainly there are sectors of the economy, businesses and so forth, that are growing. But GDP is not a accurate number. You know, the definition of a recession does not rely on GDP because it's an inaccurate number. The economists at the National Bureau of Economic Research, NBER, do not use GDP as a number to define whether we're in a recession or not. They look at a broader set of indicators. So, first of all, I think it's going to be revised downward. Secondly, it's not a good indicator. And, you know, thirdly, I don't think it's sustainable.
We did have some growth
in housing and so forth because of these special programs. But since that, at the end of the year, these numbers are going down again.
Well, they really are going down. I follow daily the reports that the former Merrill Lynch economist, David Rosenberg. David Rosenberg. He puts out a pretty detailed daily report. I haven't gotten this morning's. He probably was waiting for this number to come out, and he will slice it and dice it, Jack, and he'll pretty much say, he said the same thing you did, that whatever number comes out, it will be revised down, and then it may be revised down again, but the only time it gets the headlines is when it first comes out. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much said that. He will pick it apart and find fault with the number. Mm-hmm. He is very, very negative like you on the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my book, Epic Recession, Prelude to Global Depression, what I do is make a comparison of this crisis with prior crises, and this looks very much to me like 1907, 1914. In that particular case, we had a financial crisis as great as the one we've had here, and we had a recovery for about 2 years, a very modest, mild recovery, and then we had another 2 year relapse, in other words, collapse. That was followed by an 15 month recovery and another 2 year collapse. So what lies ahead is pretty much extended stagnation, and we're going to see periods of modest 2 to 4% GDP growth for several quarters, and then a relapse, and then a relapse. That's the scenario, and that exists because both businesses and consumers and households are overloaded with a mountain of debt still. And you can't get the economy going unless you get consumption going. And consumers are overloaded with debt. 25 million of them are unemployed. They've lost values in their stocks and 401k plans and a whole host of other reasons why they're still worried about losing their jobs, those who have them. Over 30% of the people last year alone experienced unemployment. We've got probably 23, 24 million effectively unemployed. There's no way that you're going to get a recovery when consumption, which is 71% of the economy, cannot recover. What you'll get is a business building up inventories in the hopes that you got a recovery, and then when it doesn't occur, business pulls back again. That's why business, to the extent that they are hiring, they're hiring temporary workers and part-time workers. In other words, they don't believe that the recovery is really here. They're sort of taking a small step in anticipation and hope that it's coming. But if it isn't, they're going to pull back real quick. That's the scenario that really describes the situation.
Well, You certainly echoed that before, and I agree with you, and I've had others on this program, other economists. Oh, I've had a number. I have not had a single one who didn't basically agree with what you're saying. Different people say different things, but basically the economy is in bad shape. Nobody has said they see any daylight as far as the horizon extends and well beyond it. And, You talk about a dark decade ahead. I had one economist talk about the possibility of two dark decades ahead. But let's take another break, and we'll come right back and explore that a little bit more. It's not very pleasant.
Are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293. And be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back on with Jack Rasmus, talking about the state of economic health in the country. Not very good. Jack, let me let you pick up on the theme that this thing can be very, very long and nasty. Whether it will ever match how bad it was in the Great Depression, who can know? We'll see. Certainly it's possible. And you know that in the Great Depression, there was a strong rebound. After 1932... the stock market certainly reflected it, going up something like 300%. Really astonishing to think that there was a rally that great, but it did that after declining 89%. So I think it still had lost half its peak value of October 1929. But then there was another setback, and there were ups and downs. And I agree, we're probably going to see the same thing happen this time.
Well, the difference between the Great Depression and this period of 1907-1914 of extended stagnation following the financial crisis is the following. In 1929, we had what I call an epic recession, as nature of my book, How Did Depressions Start? And they, of course, have something to do with financial collapses, in contrast to normal recessions. Well, 1929 to 31 was also a period much like today, an epic recession, not yet a depression. What precipitated the shift into a full-blown depression was a sequence of further financial crises that erupted. You see, the Great Depression was not just one linear downturn. It was a sort of a ratcheting a sequence of downturns. And 1929, of course, set it off. But we had in 1931 the second banking crisis, and 32 was a third, and 33 a fourth. And each time the economy fell further and further and further until 1934. And we had in 33 and 34 a leveling out kind of like it is today, right? A leveling out, not a further collapse, but not a sustained recovery. And it wasn't until the New Deal of Roosevelt started in 35, not 33, 34. He went 2 years without instituting the New Deal. He bailed out the banks, essentially. That was the first task that he did. But he didn't leave all the bad assets on the banks. They simply took some of these banks and slapped them together and said, okay, you're out of business. You know, you're going to merge with this guy and so forth. Much more aggressive bank actions by FDR than we see with Obama. And then that stopped the collapse in 33-34, but it didn't generate a recovery for 2 years. And then FDR instituted what is known as the New Deal, and then we started to get a partial recovery. When that partial recovery began in 35 is when the stock market, which had fallen to 89 points, had one of its biggest booms in its history, as you say. Of course, when you're down 89%, there's only one way to go. That's up, and the slightest indication up occurs. But the New Deal was not significant enough in terms of government spending to really generate sustained recovery. And on top of that, in 37, they started repealing the New Deal and started cutting government spending and the monetary policy, and it threw us right back into a depression again in 38-39. So the 30s is a series of different shifts and movements that have to be understood as integral parts of the whole event itself. But at the beginning is this epic recession that could have gone either way. It could have gone the way of that the 1907-13 went, where they stabilized and it didn't fall any further. But it was a long-term stagnation. But in 31, they made some serious errors that just precipitated it, and they did it again in 32 and 33. And that's why you got something that's called the Depression. Now, we are in a similar situation. We've stabilized the further collapse. It's not collapsing anymore, but it's not recovering either. And it's a very, very weak recovery that can very easily slip back if the government does not engage in serious stimulus at this point. Problem is, they won't engage in serious stimulus because they've made agreements with the Chinese and others to stabilize the dollar, which means that they've got to rein in the deficits, which means that the Fed's going to pull out if it's stimulus, and last year's stimulus bill is going to peter out later this year. And they're just trying to figure out a way politically to get to the November elections without being scalped. But I predicted that Obama was going to run into trouble. I predicted that they'd lose Massachusetts. You've got a great anger growing out there in the country. And the Democrats, I predict, are going to get swamped in November.
Well, that very well could happen. It really is shocking. The Republicans were so discredited under George Bush, Jack. And they got swept away. And the Democrats, if they wanted to do something, I know they didn't want to do anything because the two parties are barely indistinguishable in most things. But people always have hope. Where it comes from, I don't know, because the politicians always let the public down. But they hoped, and the idea of Obama may be a different kind of president. Well, he's not a different kind of president.
So no, I don't see much in way of change here. I see a lot
no,
of
I don't
continuation
see
of the Bush program.
But it's astonishing that in November the Democrats again will be punished, as you say.
Well, let's talk, when you get back here, about the current shift in the Obama program, as evidenced last night, compared to his program last year. I think that's of interest.
Let's pick up on that as soon as we come back, Jack.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Republic Broadcasting. I'm Rob Gray, Executive Director of the American Open Currency Standard. Our team is hard at work here in Texas and across the country assembling the new economy, a system of trade built on honest money and American production. We're proud to report that we now have more than 26,000 merchants trading across the country and more than a dozen private silver currencies like the Lakota Nation and the John Gall. But the most stunning AOCS medallion by far is the new Andrew Jackson Anti-Banker, available right now at RepublicSilver.com. Log on to RepublicSilver.com and get your hands on the investment-grade 999 fine silver Andrew Jackson barter medallions and stretch your purchasing power in our extensive trade network. And be sure to stop by the AG Trading Post in Dallas, the only store that refuses FRNs where you can trade your Jacksons for top quality goods. Be a part of it today at RepublicSilver.com.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Jack Rasmus. Jack, a couple of points, and then let me let you jump right back in. I just got a flash email, lots of stuff pop up in my inbox. This comes from Dean Baker, Center for Economic and Policy Research. He says, the main reason GDP grew 5.7% was inventory building. He says final sales in the fourth quarter increased to 2.1%. So I guess that's a pretty inflated number, and if they don't sell that inventory, it's going to look pretty nasty going out sometime. That's one point. Another point is we had Bernanke reappointed. We still have others on the team, key people, Summers, Geithner. I wonder what your take on that is. And then we've got the gauntlet that Obama threw down in his State of the Union message about cutting discretionary domestic spending. So what do you make of all of these things, and where do you think, what effect do you think things these will have as we go further into this year?
Right, right. Well, Baker is correct about the inventory building. This is another indication of business anticipating and hoping for the recovery. So they're building up inventories, but if it doesn't it doesn't reflect real spending going on by the consumers. Or real spending, business spending on new plant and equipment. That's the key, because it's new plant and equipment which generates new jobs. It's not building inventories. During this crisis, business had cut inventories so dramatically that even a small replenishment of inventories looks like a significant gain. So it's not really an indication of a real foundation of recovery going on, and it sort of coincides with my other point about the hiring that is beginning to occur is largely temporary and part-time employees, especially temps. Now, moving on to discretionary spending, this is holding the line on deficits, okay, at the expense of the recovery, because that's the area of discretionary spending they ought to actually be spending more, but they're not. And it's a reflection of the decision strategically that was made to try to minimize the deficits in order to placate foreign bond purchasers, because if they don't borrow from the bond purchasers and they stop recycling purchases of U.S. Treasury bonds, then the dollar collapses. And that's right now the focal point. They want to prevent the dollar from collapsing over the short term here. This choice has happened before, choosing the currency stability versus domestic recovery stability. In fact, it was the decision in 1932 by the Federal Reserve to protect the dollar that played a big role in precipitating a further downturn of the domestic economy. So we're repeating history a little bit here. discretionary spending, of course, they're not going to stop spending on war, as they indicated, and he also indicated, interestingly, forming a bipartisan commission to address Social Security and Medicare. Okay, what this means to me is that all this other discretionary spending is relatively small. They can't really deal with the deficit. They can prevent it from getting worse, maybe, by not spending elsewhere. But they can't solve the trillion-dollar deficits, this year and looking out for the next 6 or 7 years without attacking Social Security and Medicare. I think this is an opening salvo here, looking once again how they can manipulate Social Security and Medicare costs in order to save themselves some money, which is exactly what Bush was trying to do. By privatizing Social Security, and that goes way back to Reagan. He tried to do that as well. That's the big pot of money that they're going after. So I think that's one of the significant things. The other significant thing of his statement was a goal to expand exports 2 times from current levels. Well, there's no way you're going to expand in this market 2 times from the current levels without doing it at the expense of your other trading partners, which means, is this an opening indication of willingness to go to trade wars? I don't know. We'll see. But he wants to expand free trade. Well, of course, free trade agreements have cost millions of jobs in this country. So I guess this is a long-term job destruction proposal here. But most interesting was his solution for jobs. As he said, jobs must be our number one focus, and it's small businesses that create jobs, and that's where this $30 billion tax cut is coming in, small business tax credit. But as I said at the outset, in a crisis like this, cutting taxes does not create jobs. Right? When you cut taxes, what are you doing? You're reducing business investment costs, just like lowering interest rates to zero. You're focusing on cost reduction in hopes that that will stimulate investment. But when you're in an environment and businesses can't see a rate of return, in other words, can't see people who are buying their goods, why would they want to expand? I mean, cutting costs, whether it's interest rates or tax cuts, is not going to result in new investment and expansion when you have a problem of demand and consumption and people aren't buying the goods. Why should I produce more of what I'm producing when I can't sell what I'm already producing? It's just nonsense. That's why in recessions like this, tax cuts do not create jobs. They might create jobs when you're not in recession. But not when you're in a deep recession such as we have. And he's talking not only about a small business tax credit. What he's talking about is virtually eliminating capital gains on not only small businesses, but significantly lowering capital gains on big businesses. And most of his stimulus package last year was tax cuts and had no effect. So how are these tax cuts going to have an effect when the tax cuts last year had no effect?
Well, this is just another handout to business.
It's another handout, exactly. It's another handout, and it's a Bush program, 100%. Get out of the crisis by cutting taxes for business. Now, with the fiction that that will produce jobs. Well, it hasn't and it won't. You know, and he kind of said so. These steps, to quote him, these steps won't make up for the 7 million jobs lost. Well, it's actually close to 15 million, but okay. Well, if that's the case, why are we doing it? You know, with 25 million people unemployed, why aren't we doing something that directly gets them back to work? You know, if tax cuts haven't worked, why are we cutting taxes for business again when he admits that these steps won't make up for the 7 million jobs lost, unquote?
Jack, the conclusion to me is very clear. Obama talks about creating jobs. He's doing nothing. He did virtually nothing in his first year. I think he'll do virtually nothing in his second year. Well, I don't know what he'll do later on if things get bad enough and people get upset about policy can change. But I think the idea right now on the table is they're not going to do a heck of a lot to create jobs. And again, this $30 billion, my God, stimulus with an eyedropper? Mm-hmm. What kind of stimulus is that?
Well, that plays to this point that their primary objective is not to grow the deficit and to protect the dollar. And they're going to try to smoke and mirrors, shell game, whatever, to get to the November election. But I think Massachusetts shows that the working folks in this country are fed up, and they're going to get increasingly fed up with it. And the Democrats are in real trouble come November, I think. Unfortunately, the Republicans don't have any program except the same program, essentially the Bush program, for the solution, for the problem. Why shouldn't the government go in and if small business actually needs to create jobs, why shouldn't the government go in with a different kind of a policy other than tax cuts to ensure job creation?
This in the 1930s, this was a big part of the Roosevelt policy. Once they got going to create jobs, and they took that terribly high unemployment rate, and they put a hell of a lot of people back to work. So it had an effect. And if they kept going, we might not have had the Great Depression, but they didn't. Obama is not doing that at all.
Obama has three choices. He can replicate 1934 with FDR, or he can do a 1994 with Bill Clinton, or I think most likely this is going to be more like 1978 with Jimmy Carter. Okay, those are the three Democratic choices historically here, but I think it's going to be too little, too late. 1978, and of course we know what happened in 1980 to the Democrats as a result. We're going to see a repeat of history in certain ways here, and I think when the Democrats lose their control even further in November, you're going to see a move to the right even further by Obama. He's going to want to accomplish something, anything. You already see that attitude with the health care bill. Oh, just sign anything, just to say that we got something, and then we'll spin it and make people believe that it's good for them, right? That's the strategic thinking going on. But this is a qualitatively different situation than 1994, and I think people are far more upset. We've been coming off of 8 years of hard times, and now it's getting harder, and people want solutions. My book, I do propose in the last chapter a 28 program of what I think is absolutely necessary in terms of tax policy, spending policy, monetary policy.
Can I add one that may not be in your book, but maybe if you revise it, you can put it in. I don't see any solution to the problems in this country. The things that this country does under either party, whether we're talking economic, political, military, you name it. And I think the only solution to the kind of country that the great majority of people in it really want but aren't getting is to absolutely renounce both parties. We need a surge of independence. We need a new party, probably a number of new parties, independent candidates, independent of the two major parties, because both of them have proved that they fail. There's virtually no difference between them in most issues. And whether it's Republicans in charge or Democrats in charge, simply shifting from one side to the other, the menu is the same. Throwing out the bums and putting in more bums will get you the same bum policies. So you're right. Republicans will make big gains in November, and the people will, in plain English, be screwed again, and they'll be mad as they were under George Bush. Why don't people realize that? I wait each election cycle, Jack, for a surge of independents to appear, and I wonder how bad will things have to get before maybe something on that order happens. But to me, that's the only solution to all the problems we face.
Well, you see, everyone had such great hopes with Obama, and we had to go through this process of disenchantment and discouragement. He certainly talks the talk, but so far he hasn't walked the walk one step. You know, that's a process. People have to he promised a lot of things, and people were hopeful, and now those hopes are crashing, as evidenced in Massachusetts. And we will get through this disenchantment, and following that at some point, I believe in the next two to four years, we will see more independent candidates. Now, you can call for parties, but unless you have a program that people can rally around, that's credible, believable, and makes sense, and is different from what is proposed at the present by the two parties, you're not going to have such a movement. People aren't going to step out and take action unless there's hope that there's something realistic, not pie-in-the-sky slogans and so forth, and not more of the same, but something significantly in between. And that's what I end up in my book with, to hope to start this debate on program. You know, people who are critical of the crisis and describing the crisis, there's tons of books out there describing what happened with the financial system and now the economy, right? But people don't understand the true historical origins of all this, on the one hand. And secondly, for all the criticism going on with journalists and so forth and books coming out, no one's talking about, okay, what's the solution? When I go out and talk and give, you know, public presentations on this, quite a few lately, the questions that come up, well, two questions. How did we get here? You know, how did this thing happen? And secondly, what are we going to do to solve it? That's what's on people's mind. What's the program? What's the solution? What's it going to take to solve this problem? And, of course, we're not seeing resolution proposals coming out by Obama. What we're seeing is let's put a floor under the further collapse and hope the market and businesses will bail us out eventually. Well, they're not bailing us out.
Well,
the government is going to have to take a much more direct and active role. And I talk about how to restructure the banking system, democratize the Federal Reserve into a totally different institution, how to nationalize consumer credit markets, and how government should loan directly to small businesses and to consumers and to students and so forth, and not rely on a banking system that today is far more interested in speculation overseas and big profits than taking care of the economy and the small business and consumers in this country. That's one of the big institutional problems. They're so global now, and they're so focused on speculative profits that they don't care about small businesses and average people.
Oh, indeed. Jack, your book, is it still due out in March?
It's due out in April, but you can pre-order it now. You can go to my website, Kyklos Productions, KYKLOSProductions.com. You can pre-order it on Amazon. You can go to Palgrave Macmillan, the publisher in the U.S., all these sites, and you can pre-order it at discount.
Again, the title is Epic Recession and Financial Crisis, Prelude to Global Depression, ? You know, I can't wait for the book to come out so we can spend the whole hour talking about the book. It's the right book at the right time, Jack. There's no question about it. And I'm sure your prescription is very, very important. I'm also sure if the people we had running the government followed your prescription, we would not have the debacle we're in now. And given what we have, if they followed your prescription, we could find a way out of it.
Well, last year I sent my proposals, which have always said that you got to do something about jobs and the housing crisis first. Okay, that's critical. Not the bank bailout and then hope that they will bail the rest of us out. You, the government, have to do something about that first. I proposed that last year. I sent those proposals to the House Banking Committee. Barney Frank heard nothing from them.
Well, I'm sure you didn't necessarily expect to hear from Barney Frank.
No, I didn't really think so, but I felt that let's take a shot, see if they respond.
Oh, you take a shot indeed. Jack, another break. We'll come back. One last segment.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners, the freeze-dry guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Jack Rasmus. Jack, a quick take on David Rosenberg's latest. I haven't read it yet. I just see the top part of it. I'll give you a quick take on the GDP number. He titles it, usually it's Breakfast with Dave. Today it's Lunch with Dave because of that GDP number for sure. He calls it the Houdini recovery. And he's on the 5.7 number, he says, strip out the inventory building and foreign trade, and domestic demand grew at a paltry 1.7% annual rate from 2.3% in the third quarter, period. Some recovery, period.
All right.
I think that about sums it up.
Yeah, well, it just reveals that this is a very tenuous, temporary kind of recovery, much like what happened after 1907. Okay, very, very similar, and same thing happened in 1930, and following the 29 crash, there was a very, very brief recovery. but it slipped back in because the banks continued to tighten up. And then we had another banking crash, and which is still possible here, financial crisis, and I think it will be precipitated by some sovereign debt default, you know, be it Greece or somewhere around the world, which will reverberate throughout the whole global banking system. The other thing that's got everybody nervous in business and banking is China has decided to pull back on its stimulus. And there was great hope that China would pull everybody out, which was just nonsense. But even that opportunity now looks like it's fading. And then we can't get jobs going in this country, and we don't have a program for that. You know, it's not the real fundamentals here are not strong.
But I think Houdini sums it up.
One thing I can agree with Obama in the statement, he said that change has not come fast enough, quote. I certainly don't agree with him. He concludes immediately following that, he's never been more hopeful for America's future, quote.
Well,
how you reconcile those two statements, I don't know.
He has lots of reasons to be hopeful for his own future, but certainly not for ours.
Well, certainly been a major, major disappointment that people are beginning to realize. And the point is that the Obama 2 package, which is now beginning to take form, and we'll see next week when it comes out with the budget, is more of the same and too little, too late, and relying on tax cuts once again, relying on tax cuts to business. And you simply don't generate investment in a deep recession like this by cutting business taxes, because it's the rate of return that businesses are focusing on, not their cost of investment.
Jack, a big point is, what do you think Congress is going to do with this proposal?
I think you're going to see, you know, a passage of tax cut legislation, but not much else. Financial reform, I think, is dead on arrival. I don't think you're going to get anything. I mean, Geithner can't even get his tepid plan passed. If we saw effective lobbyists thwart health insurance reform, well, then, you know, certainly the bankers and hedge funds and so forth are going to thwart financial reform.
You think Geithner might be replaced?
I think there's a good possibility after November elections that he will go. Yes, it all depends on, you know, he may be the lightning rod here. Bernanke squeaked through, I think they may be saving their ammunition to, for Geithner because of this AIG thing, where he pretty much gave them a blank check.
What about Summers? What about Volcker?
Well, I think Volcker will rise in terms of prominence here, because he's behind this whole, let's call it, Restore Glass-Steagall Light. That's the bill that separated the shadow banks, hedge funds,
indeed,
and so forth from the... But that's not a solution. Long term to the problem. That's the best they can come up with.
Jack,
it's pretty pathetic.
I got to cut you off. We're out of time. I wish we could go on. I mean, big stuff, but this story has legs. We'll be talking about this forever. Jack, many, many thanks. I look forward to next time. I shot you an email on it, and I.
Introducing the new Go.